Suddenly, something fell out of a tree in front of her. She leapt backwards with alarm, dropping both the torch and the box as she did so. She went down into a crouch, pulling the specially sharpened rock out of her pocket. The thing that had fallen out of the tree was moving. The torch was lying on the ground and pointing towards it, and a vast, grotesque shadow was slowly lurching through the light towards her. She could hear faint rustling and screeching noises over the steady hiss of the rain. She scrabbled on the ground for the torch, found it, and shone it directly at the creature. At the same moment, another dropped from a tree just a few feet away. She swung the torch wildly from one to another. She held her rock up, ready to throw. They were quite small, in fact. It was the angle of the light that had made them loom so large. Not only small, but small, furry, and cuddly. And there was another dropping from the trees. It fell through the beam of light, so that she saw it quite clearly. It fell neatly and precisely, turned, and then, like the other two, started slowly and purposefully to advance on random. She stayed rooted to the spot. She still had her rock poised and ready to throw, but was increasingly conscious of the fact that the things she had it poised and ready to throw at were squirrels. Oh, or at least squirrel-like things. Soft, warm, cuddly, squirrel-like things, advancing on her in a way she wasn't at all certain she liked. She shone her torch directly on the first of them. It was making aggressive, hectoring, screeching noises, and carrying in one of its little fists a small, tattered piece of wet pink rag. Random hefted her rock menacingly in her hand, but it made no impression at all on the squirrel advancing on her with its wet piece of rag. She backed away. She didn't at all know how to deal with this. If they had been vicious, snarling, slavering beasts with glistening fangs, she would have pitched into them with a will, but squirrels behaving like this she couldn't quite handle. She backed away again. The second squirrel was starting to make a flanking manoeuvre round to her right, carrying a cup, some kind of acorn thing. The third was right behind it and making its own advance. What was it carrying? Some little scrap of soggy paper, Random thought. She stepped back again, caught her ankle against the root of a tree, and fell over backwards. Instantly, the first squirrel darted forward and was on top of her, advancing along her stomach with cold purpose in its eyes and a piece of wet rag in its fist. Random tried to jump up, but only managed to jump about an inch. The startled movement of the squirrel on her stomach startled her in return. The squirrel froze, gripping her skin through her soaking shirt with its tiny claws. Then, slowly, inch by inch, it made its way up her, stopped, and proffered her the rag. She felt almost hypnotized by the strangeness of the thing and its tiny, glinting eyes. It proffered her the rag again. It pushed it at her repeatedly, screeching insistently, till at last, nervously, hesitantly, she took the thing from it. It continued to watch her intently, its eyes darting all over her face. She had no idea what to do. Rain and mud were streaming down her face, and she had a squirrel sitting on her. She wiped some mud out of her eyes with the rag. The squirrel shrieked triumphantly, grabbed the rag back, leapt off her, ran scampering into the dark and closing night, darted up into a tree, dived into a hole in the trunk, settled back, and lit a cigarette. Meanwhile, Random was trying to fend off the squirrel with the acorn cup full of rain, and the one with the paper. She shuffled backwards on her bottom. "No!" she shouted. "Go away!" They darted back, in fright, and then darted right forward again with their gifts. She brandished her rock at them. "Go!" she yelled. The squirrels scampered round in consternation. Then one darted straight at her, dropped the acorn cup in her lap, turned and ran off into the night. The other stood quivering for a moment, then put its scrap of paper neatly down in front of her, and disappeared as well. She was alone again, but trembling with confusion. She got unsteadily to her feet, picked up her rock and her parcel, then paused and picked up the scrap of paper as well. It was so soggy and dilapidated, it was hard to make out what it was. It seemed just to be a fragment of an in-flight magazine. Just as Random was trying to understand exactly what it was that all this meant, a man walked out into the clearing in which she was standing, raised a vicious-looking gun, and shot her. Arthur was thrashing around hopelessly 2 or 3 miles behind her, on the upward side of the hill. Within minutes of setting out, he had gone back again and equipped himself with a lamp, not an electric one. The only electric light in the place was the one that Random had brought with her. This was a kind of dim hurricane lamp, a perforated metal canister from Strinder's forge, which contained a reservoir of inflammable fish oil, a wick of knotted dried grass, and was wrapped in a translucent film made from the dried membranes from the gut of a perfectly normal beast. It had now gone out. Arthur jiggled around with it in a thoroughly pointless kind of a way for a few seconds. There was clearly no way he was going to get the thing suddenly to burst into flame again in the middle of a rainstorm, but it's impossible not to make a token effort. Reluctantly, he threw the thing aside.